If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Good morning to you and welcome to CBS This Morning. It is Friday, May 21st, 2021. I'm Gail King. That's Anthony Mason. That's Vladimir Dudier. We're going to begin with breaking news. This morning, thousands of passengers are grounded at airports nationwide after an outage in the system that checks people in. That's not good. We're already seeing very long lines and big crowds. For example, at JFK, that's right here in New York, and Boston's Logan Airport, for American Airlines and JetBlue passengers. Mola Lange's at New York at LaGuardia Airport. And Mola, we hear that the system is now back online, but there are still going to be some delays. But first, tell us, how in the world did this happen?
Well, yeah, good morning, Gail. Causing some early morning headaches here at JFK, as well as airports across the country. We've seen lines really fluctuate throughout the morning. But how this happened, it was a global reservation system that's used by several airlines. That went down early this morning, causing long lines at the airports across the country, including major hubs like LAX in Los Angeles, Boston's Logan Airport, and New York's JFK and LaGuardia here. A technical glitch by a third-party company called Sabre caused the delays for people trying to check in to their flights. Now, American and JetBlue Airlines are just some of the U.S. airlines affected by this. Travelers, as you can imagine, took to Twitter, pleading with the airlines and seeking information, anything they could find about what they should be doing. Now, American Airlines released a statement this morning saying that this technical issue has been resolved. We apologize to our customers for the inconvenience. The Sabre company, claiming responsibility, also acknowledged the outage, saying, "We will take all necessary measures to prevent a reoccurrence." Now, even though the companies claim that the systems have been restored and the necessary steps have been taken, as you can imagine, when it comes to these things, ripple effects are expected throughout the day. So if you are flying, you should be checking with your airlines to see if your flights are affected. Anthony?
Yeah, not fun to be traveling this morning, Mola. Thank you. Let's bring in Chris Van Cleve now, who's covered the airline industry extensively for us. Chris, what can you tell us about this glitch?
Well, Anthony, three U.S. airlines use Sabre, American, JetBlue, and Alaska. They would be the airlines that were affected here. And Sabre is the reservation system. It is basically the nerve center of all of the customer-facing systems an airline uses. Without a reservation system, you can't check flyers in, you can't check bags, and you can't close out a flight for departure. It has nothing to do with safety. Planes could take off and land. If somebody was, if a plane had pushed back off the gate, it could take off and finish its flight. But you can't get passengers to the plane. So if you can't get them on the plane, there's no reason to fly the flight. And that's why the delays happen, because you can't check anybody in. Sabre is a decades-old system. It was developed in the 1960s. We're talking MS-DOS and floppy disk type of technology. And it underpins everything that these airlines do. Airlines know that it is an old system. In fact, in 2019, we saw it fail three times in 2 months. There were a bunch of upgrades after that, but there are still times where it will go down. Vlad?
All right, Chris, glad that it's being resolved. I can only imagine after this pandemic, people want to travel. Chris Van Cleve, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Now to the Middle East and a fragile truce between Hamas and Israel after more than a week of deadly fighting. Let's get right to MTS Taib in Jerusalem. MTS, tensions are still dangerously high. Is the ceasefire holding?
The ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, Vlad, holding. But just as we were coming on, just behind me in the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, we could see Israeli forces and Palestinian protesters confronting each other. We could hear sound grenades going off, tear gas going off, all of which is very concerning. But for now, we have not seen any Israeli any Israeli strikes, and certainly no Hamas rocket fire, as this fragile truce holds.
On the bombed out streets of Gaza, a mixture of joy and relief after 11 horrifying days of fighting ended in a truce between Israel and Hamas. Hamas is claiming victory, but after more than 230 Palestinians were killed and vast devastation, it's a hollow one. In an address to the nation about the ceasefire, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said, "We operated together to protect our people." 12 Israelis were killed in the fighting.
We still have.
Tal Schneider is an Israeli political analyst.
There's a ceasefire. Mm-hmm. If it holds, is there a winner?
I think all sides are losing. I don't see anyone here who is winning those conflicts. It is repeating sin, conflict after conflict, and all sides are losing.
Overnight in East Jerusalem, where this all began, fireworks lit up the night sky. But this morning, a sense the long festering issues still haven't been resolved.
So you really don't believe that anything's going to
solve? I don't believe it is solved.
But Hamas claims it received assurances Israel will not enter the Al-Aqsa Mosque again, and that the looming expulsions of Palestinian families from East Jerusalem by Jewish settlers won't happen. But Israel's defense minister calls those claims completely false.
Now, the world has hailed this truce, but we have to be very cautious here. Back in 2014, in the last Gaza war, a conflict I covered extensively, there were 9 truces. All of them fell apart. And the concern now is that this latest truce could also fall apart. Anthony.
All right, MTS Tayyip in East Jerusalem, thank you. President Biden praised the agreement in his most extensive remarks about the conflict since it began.
I believe the Palestinians and Israelis equally deserve to live safely and securely and to enjoy equal measures of freedom, prosperity, and democracy. My administration will continue our quiet, relentless diplomacy toward that end.
Weisha Zhang joins us now from the White House. Weisha, how did the president handle his first foreign policy crisis?
Oh, good morning, Anthony. President Biden said very little in public as the conflict was unfolding, focusing instead on what the White House called quiet, relentless diplomacy in private. Many Democrats were calling on the president to publicly support a ceasefire even earlier than he did. But a senior administration official told CBS News that Mr. Biden's experience during previous conflicts in the Middle East led him to deliberately take this behind-the-scenes approach, and that he believes it's more effective to work that way instead of getting drawn into public political arguments. The formal statement from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office called the ceasefire an Egyptian initiative with no credit to the United States. Still, the administration had more than 80 talks with officials in the region, including 6 conversations between Mr. Biden and Netanyahu. The president said he sees a genuine opportunity to make progress toward peace in the Middle East and said he would work with Israel and the Palestinian Authority, though not Hamas, which the U.S. considers a terrorist organization. He also said he would help Israel replenish supplies for its Iron Dome, despite opposition from some Democrats over selling weapons to Israel. In fact, just yesterday, Senator Bernie Sanders offered a new resolution to block the administration's planned $735 million arms deal to Israel. He says that that could offer even more conflict. But the president has made clear that strengthening relationships with allies like Israel is a cornerstone of his foreign policy strategy. And in the next few days, his Secretary of State will visit the Middle East. Gail.
Weisha, thank you very much. We've got some encouraging news for you this morning. The reported number of new COVID cases in this country fell below 30,000 for the 5th straight day yesterday, and that hasn't happened since last June. That's good. One big reason for that, more than 156 million American adults have now received at least one coronavirus vaccination. President Biden's chief medical advisor, you know him, Dr. Anthony Fauci, joins us. He's also the government's top expert on infectious diseases. Good morning to you, Dr. Fauci. It's really good to see you as always.
Thank you, Gail. Good to see you.
Okay, here's the thing. You're going to be proud of me. I went outside. I'm vaccinated, as you know. Went outside, walked around without a mask, and didn't feel as guilty as I normally do. Isn't that good?
You're getting there, Gail. You're getting there.
Baby steps, making progress. And a friend of mine said, Gail, you just need to relax. You and all the other people who are vaccinated, you are in a great position. You need to start living your lives. What is the confusion about the mask? Why are you worried about it? The bottom line is you don't have to wear a mask inside. You don't have to wear a mask outside if you're vaccinated. And the people that aren't vaccinated should still be wearing their mask. Is it as simple as that? It doesn't seem so.
It really is, Gail. I mean, I think the confusion that people had is that when the CDC made the announcement that people who are vaccinated can really feel safe because of the extraordinary degree of effectiveness of the vaccines, whether you're outdoors or indoors, somehow that got interpreted as saying, well, masks, forget masks. We don't need to wear masks, which is not the case because the recommendations for people who are not vaccinated have not changed. They really remain the same, particularly the issue of wearing masks when indoors.
I think people get confused because you go to a store and they're saying, wear your mask. And people are walking around saying, I'm vaccinated, so I don't need to wear a mask. Shouldn't we just follow, if you're going to a store and the guidelines and their rule is wear a mask, leave your mask on, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the reason why that's the case is since we don't have any official way to validate or verify that you're vaccinated, if you're the owner of an establishment, you don't have any idea who's vaccinated, who's not. There may be an infected people in the establishment that might infect other people who are not vaccinated. So in order to just cover the waterfront, they say, if you're going to come into my establishment, wear a mask. Under those circumstances, even though you are vaccinated, you should abide by what the person says who owns that establishment. I certainly do that.
All right. So we cleared that up. That's not so confusing to me. But I am worried about the honor system. I may trust me and the people at this table, but it's all people out there. I'm not so sure about them. So I'm very, very worried about that. But let's talk about the booster shots for just a second, because we keep hearing that we're going to need a booster in the fall, about 6 months, that it only covers you for 6 months. Is that still tracking that way?
You know, not necessarily, Gail. Again, unfortunately, there's some misunderstanding about that. We are planning for the eventuality that we might need to boost people. We don't know whether we will have to do it and when we will have to do it. There's estimates. Well, it may be a year. It may be a little bit longer. The fact is we don't know. But it would really be foolish not to plan for the possibility that we might have to boost people. But there's no set rule now that says in 6 months or in a year, we're going to require a boost. What we do is we follow the durability of the response. We know we could measure it by laboratory tests, but you could also see if there are breakthrough infections. So rather than people assuming that 6 months from now, everyone will need a boost, which is not the case at all, we just keep following the durability of the response. And if the time comes when we'll need to boost people, we'll at least have enough data, because we're doing the studies now, to know what we expect to see when we do boost people.
And that's why this is such a moving target, because you're still following the data, trying to gather all the information. It's not that you guys don't know what you're doing. You're just trying to follow the science and trying to figure this out as we go along. Okay, basketball playoffs opening up all around the country. What's your guidance for people who are going to basketball playoffs, vaccinated or non-vaccinated, because there are a lot going on this weekend inside?
Well, you know, Gail, it's going to depend on what the regulations are of the people who are running the establishment where the game is being held. If they say you have to have a mask when you go in, then you should be wearing a mask. Mm. If they say you don't need to wear a mask and you are vaccinated, you really don't need to wear a mask.
Okay, but people don't always tell the truth, Ruth, as you know. Thank you, Dr. Anthony Fauci. Always good to see you. I know we'll talk again.
Thanks again, Gail. Good to see you.
Bye.
Prince William and Prince Harry are condemning the BBC after an investigation found a reporter who interviewed Princess Diana back in 1995 repeatedly lied to gain access. In the statement, Prince William said the interview hurt his parents' marriage. Roxana Saberi has more reaction to that report on the interview that shook the entire royal family.
They see me as a threat of some kind, and I'm here to do good.
Over a quarter of a century ago, nearly 23 million people watched Princess Diana open up about her struggles in the royal family. Now Prince William is blasting the BBC for how the interview was secured and the pain it continues to cause.
The interview was a major contribution to making my parents' relationship worse, and has since hurt countless others.
In a statement, Prince Harry went even further, saying the ripple effect of a culture of exploitation and unethical practices ultimately took his mother's life. The brothers were responding to the findings of an independent investigation that then BBC reporter Martin Bashir deceived and induced Diana's brother, Earl Spencer, and played on Diana's fears and paranoia to land the interview. It also accused the BBC of covering up Bashir's conduct, which included forging bank statements, suggesting that people close to Diana were being paid to spy on her. Prince William was 15 and Harry 12 when their mother died, fleeing from the paparazzi 2 years after that sensational interview.
It brings indescribable sadness to know that the BBC's failures contributed significantly to her fear, paranoia, and isolation that I remember from those final years with her.
Bashir, who resigned from the BBC just last Friday, has apologized for forging bank statements, but added they had no bearing on Diana's decision to speak with him. The broadcaster has also apologized for what it calls unacceptable failures. For CBS This Morning, Roxana Saberi, London.
Certainly not a good moment for the media when you hear that story. Very disappointing. And we'll never know if Princess Diana would have given that interview had she not had that information. Martin Bashir has produced a letter that said she didn't regret the interview, but she didn't know that information.
Right, she didn't.
So you'll never know. And you can see why they're upset, the brothers.
The forging of bank statements is particularly distressing.
It's not okay.
Yep.
It's not how most people in the media operate, just saying.
Thank you for listening to the CBS This Morning podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to get your morning news in under 20 minutes and daily podcast original.
You can watch the CBS This Morning broadcast Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on your local CBS station or live on the CBS All Access app.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to CBS Mornings on the go ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I'm Mo Rocca, and I'm excited to announce season 4 of my podcast, Mobituaries. I've got a whole new bunch of stories to share with you about the most fascinating people and things who are no longer with us. From famous figures who died on the very same day to the things I wish would die, like buffets. Listen to Mobituaries with Mo Rocca on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.